Have you ever thought about the amount of lies that you encounter each and every single day? It would probably be quite startling and scary to know the exact number, to know how surrounded you are by falsehood. So the question is, how do we live in such a way that we are not deceived by the falsehood that surrounds us? Well, today we're going to discover the answer as we continue in our sermon series, Complete a Joy, a Study of 1 John. So if you have your Bibles with you today, you can open them up to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be studying verses 1 through 6 today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And let's begin by simply reading verse 1. It says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are, for your love for us, Lord, for the gift of your holy and perfect word. And Lord, we ask this morning that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us into the truth of your word, that you would give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, a heart to understand, to know, to love and obey your truth. And Lord, I ask that I would not stand in the way of your truth being made known this morning. I pray this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to imagine that you're about to go on a 2-week backpacking trip in the mountains. But the night before you go, you make a post on social media asking for advice on what to bring on your backpacking trip. Now, to your astonishment, the very next morning, there's a long line of people at your front door carrying an assortment of different packages. And when you open up the front door, you recognize that each and every single one of these people, they've brought you a package to bring on your trip. So you grab your backpack, you open it up, and you hold it out, and you just let them drop their package in one at a time until your backpack is completely full. Then you offer your thanks, and then you go on your trip. As you start your hike, you after a couple hours or so, you realize that your backpack, it feels heavy. Like, not just heavy, you expect it to feel heavy, but it feels abnormally heavy. And it makes you start to question and wonder, what in the world did some of these people put in your backpack? So you take off your backpack, you open it up, and you do some quick digging around, and you find the culprit. You pull out this extremely heavy package that's covered in this nice cloth. And you pull off the cloth, and it's nothing but a huge and heavy rock with a little note on it that says, "To make your feet drag." Now, you're not sure whether to laugh, to cry, to be angry. Is this some sort of practical joke? What's going on here? You're not sure what to make of this, so you toss the rock to the side, and you keep on hiking, and at the very least, you're just happy to not be carrying this unnecessary burden anymore. So you keep hiking. After a couple hours, you start to get a little hungry. So you grab your backpack off again, you open it up, and you search for some food, and all of a sudden, you realize that your backpack is swarming with ants. And the ants seem to be coming out of one package in particular. So you dump everything out on the ground. You try to get all the ants out. You see that all your food has been spoiled and ruined by these ants. And out of kind of a morbid curiosity, you open up that package that all the ants seem to be coming out of. And inside is nothing but a colony of ants with a little note that says, "To spoil all that is good." You start to think that the people who lined up at my door this morning were not as nice as I thought they were. But anyway, you put everything back, you get all the ants out, and you keep hiking. You get to the end of the day before nightfall, and you want to set up camp, and you open up another package. And finally, you think to yourself, a good package. It's a package that contains a tent and a sleeping bag. But as you start putting up the tent, you realize that, once again, there's a problem. It looks like someone has taken a knife and slashed these huge gaping holes all around your tent, on your roof, completely exposing you to the cold and the elements. And then you unroll your sleeping bag, and it looks like someone has taken scissors and cutting off the bottom so that your feet just stick completely out. And there's a nice little note in there that says, to make you cold and wet. Now you've confirmed your suspicion. Right? You should have never have accepted everything that these people gave you. You should have never have trusted that these things were for your good. Now this, in a lot of ways, it paints a picture of our life. You see, this is something that each and every single one of us have done. Frequently, in life, we take things that the world has given us, and we assume that they're true. We assume that they are for our good. Yet little do we often realize that many of the things that the world gives us are unnecessary burdens that weigh us down and make our feet drag. Little do we often realize that what the world gives us is destructive, and it will ruin many of the good things that we have in life. And little do we often realize that many of the things that the world gives us are false. And while they appear good and right and true, they will ultimately betray us and bring about harm. And so today we need to begin with some self-examination. We need to reflect on the things that we have received from the Lord, from the world. And so we need to ask ourselves this: what unnecessary burdens has the world given you to carry that you are currently carrying? What destructive things have you accepted from the world that have spoiled the good things in life? And what falsehood have you bought into, that has ultimately brought harm to you? Once again, this is something that each and every single one of us, we've done. We've all accepted things from this world that we should not have. So the question is, how do we know what to accept in life? How do we know what is true and what is deceitful? How do we know what is good and what is harmful? How do we know what is life-giving and what is life-taking? Well, today, as we study 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we're going to discover three ways that we can live in discernment: by standing, by submitting, and by conquering. Let's begin by taking a look at how we are to live in discernment by standing. And let's start by examining 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says this: Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So John begins by telling us, don't believe every spirit. And when he uses that word spirit, he's referring to teaching. Don't believe every teaching that you hear. So don't believe a teacher just because they claim to be a Christian. Don't believe a teacher just because they claim to have received a word from the Lord. Don't believe a teacher just because they preach behind a pulpit. Don't believe a teacher just because they have lots of charisma, they're exciting and entertaining to listen to, or they seem like a good person. Essentially, John is telling us this morning. Don't be gullible. Don't be naive. Don't put everything the world gives you into your backpack. Why? Because the world is full of false teachers, false prophets, and false teachings that will seek to lead us astray from Jesus. For this reason, we need to daily live with the self-awareness that false teachers are out there. Do we live with that awareness, though? And we also need to remember that false teachers are not always so easy to detect and spot. One theologian and pastor, Kevin DeYoung, he put it like this. He says, "It's not like in the movies where when a villain comes on the screen, we immediately know that they are a villain. Why? Because villains in the movies, they have the long, crooked nose. They have the sinister-looking face, or at the very least, sinister-looking eyebrows that are always very pointy, right? Or they have a scar across their face, or they're cloaked in black. Or at the very least, when they're first introduced in the movie, they talk very slowly in a deep voice, often with some type of accent, typically a British one, because apparently with the movies, all villains originate from Britain. Right? But when we see them on the screen, we don't go, yeah, you know what? Voldemort, that's a guy I would trust my kids with. No, right? Because we easily identify them as a villain. But see, it's not that obvious in real life. Deception can be quite difficult to uncover. Truth and error are not so easy to distinguish always. So what are we to do? How are we to know if a teaching is true or false? Well, today John gives us a couple of tests that we can use to discern the truth from the lie. So John tells us that we should begin with this first test. Take a look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. He says this, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already." So the first test in discerning if a teacher is from God is to figure out what foundation are they standing on. Because the truth is only built on one foundation, and that one foundation is Christ alone. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. He says this, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus also tells us this in another way in John chapter 14, verse 6, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if we want to know if someone is teaching the truth, we're to start at the foundation. What do they believe about Jesus? Do they believe Jesus is the Christ? Do they believe Jesus is God the Son who has come in flesh and is fully man and fully God? Right? If someone does not affirm, confess, and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, then they are not from God. And John tells us they are influenced by the spirit of the Antichrist, and we should not accept their teaching. Now, while this might seem like a very obvious and basic test to ask, what do they believe about Jesus? It's actually quite practical and useful. False teachers will always stand on a different foundation than Jesus. Let me give you two common foundations that false teachers often stand on in our culture, in our day and age. First, some false teachers will stand on the foundation of relative truth or sincerity. And this is a strong movement in Western Christianity today. They will say doctrine divides. Right? Have you heard that before? Doctrine divides. In other words, what we believe about God, it divides because people have disagreements, and those disagreements are bad. And so what they will say is, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you are sincere in what you believe. So what is true for you is true for you, What is true for me is true for me, and truth is whatever we want it to be, but it just matters that we are sincere. Yet that is an utter lie. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you have no hope of salvation. It absolutely matters what you believe. Jesus isn't joking. He's not lying when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The most unloving thing that we could tell someone is that it doesn't matter what you believe. There is no other way, no other truth, no other life, no other foundation than Christ. So if a teacher does not believe that Jesus is the only way, then reject their teaching. They are standing on a false foundation. The second example is this. At other times, we will wrongly listen to the various voices that stand on the foundation of popular opinion. These false teachers, these leaders, these celebrities, these churches, they will allow truth to be defined by what is the popular opinion of our culture. And they will say things like, we need to stay relevant. We need to keep up with the times. And so they will adapt their doctrine and their beliefs to match with what is popular and trendy in our culture. But if you're paying close attention to what is happening, you will see that what they are exalting, what they are championing, what they are worshiping is not Christ, but rather what is popular and what is trendy. Truth is never dependent on the consensus of opinions. Truth is never dependent on the consensus of opinions. If the majority of people choose to believe that the earth is flat, it doesn't make it flat. If the majority of people choose to believe that murder is good and okay, it doesn't mean that murder is good and okay. A lie doesn't become the truth just because the majority have accepted it and believed in it. Truth is not defined by what is popular. Instead, truth is defined by our God. Jesus is the truth. Therefore, if we want to know the truth, if we want to live in the truth, then we must stand on the foundation of Christ alone. So before we put a teaching into our backpack, before we accept what someone else teaches us as truth, we need to first see what foundation they are standing on. True teachers will stand on the foundation of Christ alone. False teachers will not. Secondly, we're also to live in discernment not only by standing on the foundation of Jesus, but also by submitting. I want to skip ahead temporarily right now to verse 5. Verse 5 says this, and John is talking about false teachers here. He says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So in verse 5, John is telling us why false teachers have so much success. And maybe you've wondered that before, right? Why do false teachers become so popular, right? Why do they explode in growth? Why do they have these huge followings? John says it's quite simple. They are from this world. They speak of worldly things to a worldly audience. So no wonder what they teach is not just accepted, but celebrated in the world. Theologian Ray Van Nest, he put it like this. He says, the world is attracted to their message because they're on the same page with the world. False teachers will commonly gain a great following because they tell the world what the world wants to hear. A message tailored to the desires of this world will always find a following. But it will not lead to life. And this is why false teachers are dangerous. They lead us astray from the true life and the gospel by speaking to our worldly desires, by whispering to us what we want to hear, by telling us things that sound nice, by telling us things that entice our sinful hearts, that make us want more of these things of the world. And they often do so under the guise and cloak of Christianity. Yet their allegiance to the world is actually how we can discern them as a false teacher. This is what John tells us in verse 6. Take a look at verse 6 now. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So John is telling us, true teachers will submit to the apostolic witness that we have in Scripture. In other words, true teachers will listen to and submit to God's Word. But false teachers will be marked by their rejection of God's Word. They will not listen to and submit to the Word of God as their ultimate authority in life. Instead, they will elevate their own words. They will elevate the words of this world over the Word of God. This is why a teacher's belief and fidelity to the Word of God will tell us almost everything we need to know about them. So if someone says, yes, I'm a pastor, but they don't believe that God's Word is inerrant, meaning without error, or they don't believe that God's Word is infallible, meaning completely trustworthy, or they don't believe that the words of Scripture are the very words of God, then we are to reject their teaching. They have revealed their true colors. But you might be wondering, practically speaking, what about if someone just doesn't come right out and tell us and say, Michael, I don't believe God's Word is inerrant, infallible, and completely trustworthy. What are we to do then? How do we know if someone is true or false? How do we know if they submit to the Word of God? Well, there's a very easy test, a very easy way to know if a teacher submits to the Word of God. Test everything they say with Scripture. If we want to know if a teacher submits to the Word of God, then test what they teach with Scripture. True teachers will seek to faithfully teach God's Word. Their allegiance and submission to God's Word will be evident in their teachings. And while we may disagree with them from time to time over a particular interpretation of a passage, a true teacher, nonetheless, you will be able to see that their beliefs, their convictions, and their teachings come from God's Word. So test everything you hear with Scripture. Test what we read in books and online with Scripture. Test what we hear in sermons with Scripture. Anytime you listen to me, I urge you, test what I say with Scripture. Right? What you learn in Bible studies, test that with Scripture. What you hear in podcasts, test that with Scripture. Our go-to questions in life should be, what does Scripture say? Does Scripture support this? And one of the best examples that we see of this is found in Scripture. In Acts chapter 17 with the Bereans. If you take a look at Acts chapter 17 verses 10 and 11, it says this. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So Paul and Silas, they come to preach in the Jewish synagogue. And likely, they have this sparkling reputation that precedes them. Yet these Jews don't immediately just accept what they say is true. Instead, they test everything that Paul and Silas say with Scripture. And by doing so, they recognize that everything they say is true. That is how they discern Paul and Silas as true teachers. And this is the model that we are to follow. If we would not be deceived by false teaching, then we must consistently test what we hear with Scripture. And there's also another part of this that I want to touch on quickly as well. A teacher's submission to the Word of God should be evident not only in what they teach, but how they live. And if there's a great discontinuity between the two, if what they teach does not match how they live, then that should be a red flag to you that they are likely not submitting and listening to the Word of God in their life. So John tells us if we want to discern whether a teacher is true or false, we need to see if they listen and submit to the Word of God. Thirdly, we can live in discernment by conquering. John began chapter 4 by telling us, do not believe every spirit, but test them. Why? Because we must at all costs be not led astray from Jesus. We must not be seduced away from the true gospel. And this is of critical importance. Everything depends on this. Right? As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is the everything. It is on Him and Him alone that we have eternal life. It is in Him and Him alone that we have salvation. So everything, literally everything, is riding on this. We must not be deceived. And with this in mind, let's read the first half of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, referring to false teachers. And let's stop right there. So in the first part of this verse, John tells us we are rooted in God as believers, and we have overcome and conquered these false teachers. But the question is, how have we conquered these false teachers? Well, it's by this. We have not been led astray by their teaching. We have remained true to Jesus. That is how we've conquered these false teachers. And so this is what we must do. We must not be deceived. We must remain true and steadfast in Christ. We must not fail this calling. We must overcome and conquer. Now, if we stop right there, we might feel a bit of anxiety. We might feel a bit of weight on our shoulders. We might feel pressure. Pressure to not be deceived, pressure to overcome these false teachers. And we might be wondering, how in the world can I prevent myself from being deceived? How can I make sure that I overcome these false teachers? How can I make sure that I do not fail this endeavor that everything is depending on? Well, listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 now in its entirety. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Listen to this good news. Listen to this comfort that John gives to our hearts this morning. We cannot fail. We will not fail. We will overcome. We will conquer these false teachers. Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Our God is greater than Satan. That is why we will not fail. It is not because we are wise enough or smart enough to see through their deception. It is not because we are strong enough to resist the powers of evil seeking to deceive us. It is only because our God is greater. So no matter how hard the wolf in sheep's clothing may try to deceive us, Christ's sheep will remain united to their shepherd, who is the truth. And they cannot be deceived. We will overcome. We will have victory. Because nothing can stop our King Jesus from saving us to Himself. Jesus took on flesh. He laid down His own life on the cross as a ransom for our own to prove this. And on the third day, Jesus, the King of glory, he unleashed the full might of the power of his resurrection to destroy every enemy and every obstacle that stood in the way. Satan cannot stand in the way. Death cannot stand in the way. Sin cannot stand in the way. The gates of hell cannot stand in the way because Jesus has claimed us. And there is nothing that can undo that. Our redemption and our victory is completely secure. And when we confess our faith, when we persist in our confession that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe he is fully man and fully God, that we believe in the virgin birth, that we believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, that we believe that on the third day that he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. When we make that confession, when we live in that confession, we live as conquerors in Christ. This is why Paul shouts with joy in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So as we find ourselves surrounded by a world of deceit, as we seek to discern what is true from what is false, let us take comfort, confidence, and assurance in this truth, that in Christ we will conquer this deceit. We will remain in the truth. We will not fail. And this is not because of who we are, but because of who our God is, the one who is greater. So Gashlin, let us not believe every spirit. Let us not put everything that the world gives to us in our backpack. But instead, let us stand on the one true foundation of Christ alone. Let us submit and listen to God's word as the ultimate authority in our life. And let us know that our hope is in Christ, because it is in him and him alone that we will conquer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we confess that in so many ways, Lord, we fall short. We sin against you. Lord, we are sheep who are easily led astray by the things of this world. But this morning, Lord, we take comfort, confidence, and assurance in knowing that our great shepherd is greater than the things of this world. That our shepherd will relentlessly pursue us. So no matter how many times we may go to the left or the right, our shepherd will claim us and return us to his flock. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the great work of redemption that you have done in our life and that we find complete security in you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us live in your truth. Lord, that you would help us stand on the foundation of Christ alone. That you'd help us submit and listen to the Word of God as our ultimate authority in life, and that we would test all things that we hear with Scripture so that we may live in the truth, that we may dwell in the truth. Lord, that we may glorify you. Lord, we are so thankful this morning for the hope and the victory that we have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.